Wake up, wake up. All right, it's Texans week. Mac Jones continues as the starter, most likely. Is Brock Purdy ever coming back? We have an insider breaking story. Says the 49ers are very active on the edge market. We got a lot to get to. I'm here in Santa Clara. Damon's in his studio. Wake up.
It is Friday, October 24th. Welcome to Wake Up. It's great to have you here. Like Larry said, he's already on premises down in Santa Clara as the 49ers are getting ready to take off to Houston. An awful lot of talk around what they might do at the trade deadline. And really, as much as we're going to talk about it, absolutely nothing has changed. I mean, we know what the realistic names are. We are twiddling our thumbs, waiting for an actual moment to arrive. I totally reject any notion that the 49ers should fancy themselves sellers. They're not going to be extreme buyers either. I mean, you don't upset the future, but you don't give up on the present either. The 49ers are in a three-way first place tie in the best division, most competitive division in football, and it is the most wide open the NFL's ever been. You wouldn't want to give up on a thing. Here's what's crazy, Larry. Here's what's crazy. As a great broadcaster once said around here, two things can be equally true. Here's what's crazy, Larry. The 49ers exist in a world where they've lost Fred Warner and Nick Bosa for the entire season. Yet in the same world, there is an argument to be made that they're about to get healthier, right? I mean, the avenue of getting better by getting more of your own roster back is one that we've been looking to walk down all season, and it still almost hasn't even happened yet. So it's still out there. This is a house money game as far as I'm concerned. You go to Houston, you win. Fantastic. What a nice little, you know, gold bullion to put in the actual bank vault. If they lose this game, well, that is just the reality of their situation, catching up with them against a very good defense on the road, and it happened against an AFC team, so I'm going to worry about it not at all. Two games, Houston, New York. If you can only choose to win one, you win that New York game 100 out of 100 times. So, to me, this is a house money game, Larry.
I hear you, but, I mean, that's just not the way they're looking at it. I mean,
oh no,
they're going to win. Yeah, Nico Collins has, you know, concussion protocol. He's out. Christian Kirk, hamstring. He's out. So, it's winnable. I mean, not just winnable. I mean, you saw how bad this Houston offense looked last week against Seattle. I mean, the Niners, I think, you know, expect to go to Houston and get this win. But it's going to be a low-scoring, hard-fought game because this Houston defense has only given up 14 points a game. So it's going to be a really, really tough game for sure. You know, the story out is that Coach Yak had the Adam Schefter tweet. He says, from what I'm hearing in NFL circles is that the 49ers have been very active in reaching out to teams to make a trade, presumably for a pass rusher. Albert Breer also weighs in on the thoughts of the 49ers making a trade. He said, where most people would look for the Niners to help themselves would probably be with an edge rusher to replace Nick Bosa in the rotation. The bad news is not easy to find one of those. I could see them making a run at Trey Hendrickson, though it seems less likely that the Bengals would trade their star rusher now with Joe Flacco breathing life back into the Cincinnati playoff hopes. He said it's worth calling the Dolphins, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, the Jets, Jermaine Johnson, the Titans, Arden Key, with Key being an intriguing possibility because of his experience in San Francisco and affordability, both in money and trade return. However, he's currently battling a quad injury. And then he goes, the bigger part of the equation is that their core is aging. Fred Warner, Bosa will turn 30 and 29 respectively when they return. Trent Williams will be 38. George Kittle just turned 32. Christian McCaffrey next year will be his 10th year in the NFL, which a tailback is like playing 20 years at quarterback. So I think San Francisco has to be honest with itself, and that'll mean asking hard questions such as whether the team without Bosa and Warner is capable of competing for a championship as presently constituted, because if it isn't, it may not be worth flipping those future assets that could inject youth into the roster. So,
I would like to congratulate Albert Breer on Breer. It's the exact same thing every single 49er content creator has said. It's everything you've ever said in the last 25 videos that you've put out, Larry. I mean, it's like he didn't say anything there. He said nothing there.
Well, he just took a long time to say it.
Yeah. It Arden Key.
And he's Albert Breer.
Yeah. Arden Key, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Jermaine Johnson. One of those four guys is going to be a 49er. I think that's going to be it.
To me, I think, though, as you get closer to this deadline, I mean, one of the reasons that you don't make the trade early on is because, one, teams aren't out of it very early. Two, you don't know what other injuries are going to come about between now and when you're talking about making the trade deadline. So now you're getting closer. Now we're sitting here. It is the 24th and the trade deadline's November 4th. So now we're kind of closing in on it. I would say as we're closing in on it, now granted, this week it seems like they're going to just get by, but Renardo Green's got a toe. Demo Lenore missed time this week in practice as well. I forget exactly what his injury is. Then you also have Upton Stout, who has an ankle. I said before it was a calf, it's an ankle. But those are your top three corners, and they're all dinged up. Now, I like Darrell Luter. I talked to him this week at his locker. I think he's going to play well. But then we're talking about Saron Neal. We're talking about Eli Apple. We're talking about, practice squad. So,
the Niners have taken themselves.
Let me just finish this thought. Yeah. What I'm talking about is I think the pivot has gone from they need a pass rusher to they may need a pass rusher and a corner. And that's why I think maybe Tennessee with Arden Key and Roger McCreary, the corner, make the most sense for the Niners. So we'll see if they can get something done. But I think they need an edge rusher, Damon, and a corner.
Are you picking up that there could be something more Renardo Green up in Stout that's a little bit serious than the reports I've read? Because these to me just seem like, week maintenance rest issues more than these guys are hurt. Are you telling me these guys are that hurt?
I don't know. I mean, the toe injury is pretty serious. I would consider probably for anybody. I mean, I think at this point, anytime you hear about a toe injury, that makes you concerned. And as far as, the other one, the ankle, it's a low ankle, not a high ankle. So that's good. But he has, he's on the injury report. It's just a concern because when you run out of corners, you're really in a passing league. Really in a bind. I mean, you think you can't find good offensive linemen on the street. You're not going to find a good corner on the street either. So if they're going to fill that need, they probably is going to have to come via trade.
It's really hard to be down a whole bunch of edge rushers and corners all at the same time because they work together. And if you're light in one area, you want to be heavier in the other. So yeah, not good. But I will say this. There's one thing that the 49ers are going to have going for them in this game, Larry, that they haven't had in a single football game yet this year. And it will be mitigated a little bit by the fact that Houston is good defensively. For the first time this year, the 49ers are going to have the best offensive line in a football game. It might be the only time this year where the 49ers definitely have the better offensive line on the football field. Houston, did you watch them last week? They're awful, Larry. I mean, awful. They got as bullied in Seattle as you can get bullied on the line of scrimmage. And I know that the Seahawks defensive line is a little thicker right now than the 49ers defensive line. But that was a savage, like constantly retreating, backstepping CJ Stroud, didn't get his feet underneath him for a single throw. I mean, he was running for his life, and I hope that that is something that brings the 49ers, a better chance to win this game in Houston, a game that I do think they have a chance to go win.
The same Houston team, though, by that same breath, I mean, put up 44 on the Ravens, and has looked really good at times. So they're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a team, and, the key is going to be early in this game. Don't let Stroud get in any kind of rhythm. and really hit their weapons hard. If you look at their weapons, Marks is a rookie, Knowles a rookie, Higgins is a rookie. They've got a lot of young guys. They don't like to be hit. I would say be super physical with their weapons and somehow get a little bit in the face of Stroud, which is going to be a very challenging thing to do, even behind his terrible line. Still going to be a challenge because the Niners don't have Huff or Bosa. And if they can do that, yeah, their offense is, you know, Baker was in total rhythm. This is the opposite of that. Like Baker came in just like, well, he had been just absolutely he had completed 88% the week before. CJ Stroud is right now, there's a huge like disconnect between CJ Stroud and his receivers, but you got to make sure that stays that way. And you got to send an early message in that first quarter with lots of physicality that they're not going to have a shot offensively.
You know, I know that you're talking about concerns in the secondary. If there were ever a time for an interception, here it is. Like, what is it, 14 straight yeah. games in a row now here, 400 plus passes thrown against the 49ers without a single interception. We saw Chase Lucas get close, but it's got to happen. And I think that this is one of those weeks where Houston's defense is good enough where they're going to turn the Niners over once, right? So now I'm not even thinking about the Niners in terms of winning turnover battles. I'm just hoping they stay even in turnover battles. So we'll see what they, again, if they win, great, just walking on sunshine, great win, no problem. If they lose, I'm no big deal in this one, Larry. I really am. I'm no big deal in an AFC road loss to a team as banged up as the 49ers are. This is not the sky is falling reaction should they lose a game that some people are just dying to do. They love overreacting. This is just one of those, if you can handle your business and go get a win on the road, great. I mean, you're just so well positioned at 6-2, given what's happened. If you're 6-2, you should have more confidence in Chauncey Billups sitting at a poker table. You should just be smiling ear to ear at 6-2. And at 5-3, you're still in very good shape. So it's not even the
Niners. Look at it this way. The road to the playoffs. The road to the playoffs. Do you want it to come through here or do you want to go on the road? If you want it to come through here, then you got to keep your pedal to the metal. You got to win all these games. You got to take advantage of these teams that are down. And I think, you know, that's the mode that I would be in if I were them. I mean, you know, it's like, the road to the Super Bowl is, you know, is going to be here at Levi's. That much you know. And, you know, the first step is you qualify for the playoffs. The next step is you get that number one seed. If you get the number one seed, the road to the Super Bowl comes through San Francisco. Then it's a matter of you get the first round bye and, you know, what do you do in a couple of games at home? And then the Super Bowl at home. I mean, it's there for the 49ers. If they can manage their quarterback's health well, if they can continue to improve as a football team, there's a lot of good young talent on this roster. Young, really, really young players sometimes if they get together in mass can outproduce their actual abilities. Because they just don't know any better. So I think that's what they're thinking. They've got great coaches, and it's just a matter of, you know, keep it rolling. I agree. I mean, it's not the end of the world if you lose an NFL regular season game, but you know, for them, they should attack every game like it's just, you know, the biggest game of the year, because the bottom line is there's only one team that gets that home field advantage. There's only one team that gets the bye, and that bye is essential, I think.
So, Kruger, you're our eyes and ears in Santa Clara. What'd you see between the two quarterbacks this week? How did Mac look? Does he look like he is limping around, still hampered a little bit by his sore knee or his oblique? And then you said you don't know what's really going on with Brock in this toe. It's a bigger problem than they might have anticipated in the first place. I think they definitely regret sending him back out there for the Jacksonville game. but in limited capacity, what do you see? How does he look? What's going on in quarterback country down in Santa Clara?
I mean, I think everybody looks like you would expect. I mean, Mac, you know, is out there practicing. He's in good spirits. He's bouncing around. He's got a smile on his face, but he's also dinged up. And he's taken a bunch of hits. You know, last week they kept him upright for the most part, but he took 20 hits in the two previous weeks. And so I'm sure he's not 100%. He's probably got four or five different maladies, but he's out there and he looks pretty much the way he looks. I don't think he's not immobile, but he's not mobile. He's but his arm strength looks the same as always. As far as Brock, I thought threw the ball cleaner and, you know, with more accuracy, but still not, I don't think he has quite the same zip, but you know, it's hard to say. We're not seeing a lot of practice. He was moving around more naturally, but he still looks a little sore and he looks a step, you know, he doesn't look like he wants to take off and run.
Is Adrian Martinez QB2 in Houston?
He might be, you know, so we'll have to see how they make that, you know, decision. It seems like they've had that, you know, it's like if Brock's going to start, he's going to suit up. But if he doesn't start, he's not going to suit up. You know, I don't think there's been that game yet. Has there been a game where he's,
you know, I don't think so.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think he'll most likely be the emergency quarterback.
Like he didn't even travel to Tampa, right?
Right.
So,
I mean, I would say it's going to be more Mac Jones. And then the question is, how long do you ride with Mac Jones? And I would say, you know, I had a doctor on this week, who's a, you know, doesn't not Brock's doctor, but a doctor that's familiar with turf toe. And he gave me like a, hey, look, it's like a 2 to 6 weeks thing, depending on the severity. There's three levels of severity. And then I said, is there an amount of rest that you could get that you would definitely be better? Generally, he's like, well, 8 weeks would probably be the most. He really hasn't given himself any time at all. He's given himself, he took off 2 weeks and then like, you know, he had a 1 week. I don't think he practiced, but I mean, he's out there at practice. So it's like, you know, should he be out there at practice? I mean, I'll defer to the Niners and their doctors, but it does make you wonder.
I don't know if I'm comfortable deferring to the Niners and their doctors.
Just by the fact that I'm bringing it up, I mean, right. In some ways, is like shows that I'm not 100% deferring because I'm questioning,
yeah,
the wisdom of having a guy with turf toe practicing at all,
right,
in the weeks, especially that you're going to go with Mac Jones. It's like, and I get it, it's competitive and he wants to be out there and all he knows is practice and all the coaches know is should he practice and the reps and all that crap. But what's best for the toe?
Here's what healing? I want. Here's what I want for Brock Purdy's practice to be limited. I want you to set up a lawn chair, an umbrella, get him an ottoman, can even be a cooler, an old Gatorade bucket, have him put his foot up, put a pina colada in his hand, and you just say, mental reps for you, buddy. Mental reps. It's all you're getting this week. Sit the fuck down. Shut the fuck up. Mental reps. That's what the 49ers need to do with this. Enough of this. He's out there sort of aggravating the turf toe in limited practice. Get him off the damn foot. Rest him.
No, I don't.
Really rest him.
I mean, it's like, I don't get it. I'm not getting it. So I don't understand it. Some, you know, maybe it's above my pay grade. I mean, Shanahan says, hey, he's progressing. But how are you progressing? It's not the kind, I don't know, man. It seems real obvious. Turf toe, you have to rest it. When it goes away, it goes away. Then you can go out there and you're all good as new. Okay. But if you don't rest it, you're just further agitating it. And I think it's like the practice is not making him better. It's probably it can't be making it better. It has to be making it worse. I'd be surprised. You know, the report was, Damon, that Diana Rossini had was that last Sunday before the Falcon game that he had some kind of workout and that he was going to try to ramp up towards playing this week against Houston, that he had the workout and that he had pain. So, you know, I just think it's one of those things where just based on the doctors, that I don't know Brock's situation at all, and I'm not telling them what to do, but based on the doctors that I've talked to, I would say the best plan of attack is don't practice him, and just, as you said, hand him the pina colada, let him sit on the sideline and watch until Thanksgiving. And then at Thanksgiving, reassess. That's what I would do. But I'm not.
I really like, Larry, the movie Office Space. And I think my favorite moment in the movie Office Space, and he's like, he's talking to his neighbor. He's like, what would you do with $1 million? He's like, nothing. I'd do nothing with $1 million. And that's, this is, so
I say, and I thought the guy said, I would do two girls at once.
Yeah, two at the same time. Well, but no, but Peter was saying, I'd do nothing. I would do nothing. And that's, so look, I obviously have an awful lot of work ethic. I think I can put in a, you know, 10-hour day with the best of them. I am fantastic, Larry. I'm fabulous at doing absolutely nothing. My wife is terrible at it. My wife can't sit down for 20 minutes. She needs to invent a project. Like all of a sudden, like, you know, it's a quiet Saturday afternoon. Nothing's going on. And Jillian's like, I got to go fertilize the lawn. Really? Fertilize the whole lawn? How about we do this? Nothing. Just let the grass grow. We don't just relax. Stop inventing little projects. Stop inventing little projects for Brock Purdy. Have him do nothing. Have him do nothing. Mental reps. Study. There's so much you can still do to get ready for football without being out there involved in practice. And that's what this team needs to do. And thank God they got Mac Jones, because this guy is saving everybody's bacon almost the same way that Brock Purdy is saving everybody's bacon. And if that could bring us to the other thing that I see, you know, a lot of people. So we're at that halfway point. We're at that halfway point, and the Niners are this sort of formless, shapeless, we still don't really know who they are, what they are, football team, where everybody else is figuring out their definitions of the year. So it's the other things we're talking about. Well, what about the trade they're going to make? What about the trading partners they're going to make? How aggressive do you think John Lynch is going to be? How much longer do you think Robert Saleh is going to be around? Became a talking point here as we get into week 8. People already worried about Robert Saleh's future. Let me give you a little advice. Don't worry about Robert Saleh's future. He's going to have a big, bright, shiny future no matter what. He's really good at what he does. If you thought he was coming back,
they're not worried about Robert Saleh's
coordinator. No, but he's going to be
not worried about Robert Saleh's future. They're worried about the Niners' future.
Gus Bradley's in the room. Gus Bradley's in the room. This,
I hear you, but I mean, Robert Saleh is having a great impact on the 49ers, and it's natural for Niner fans to be like,
"It is.
We don't want him to go anywhere." And who knows? These jobs are hard to come by. I mean, he might get a job, but I mean, odds are there's going to be 5 or 6 jobs available, and it's like, you know, we'll see. I mean, it may take a year, may take 2 years. He may be here for another year. We'll see. He is a great coach. The Niners were 29th in scoring defense last year. I think they're 6th right now.
Right. Look at it this way. If the Niners are that enamored with the job he's doing, they can pay Robert Saleh twice the salary of any head coach in football right now to remain their defensive coordinator. There is a
number. Surprised teams don't do that, aren't you? Why don't teams do that? Or I wonder if Kansas City's doing that with Spags, because it's like, it's the one uncapped area of football. You want to spend more than everybody else on players? You can't. You want to have more draft picks than everybody? No, you can't do it. You want to do it more of anything. You want to have more practice time than everybody? Nope. Rules against that. But if you want to pay your assistant coaches 25 times the league average, you could. And there is no cap sport, and it's a sport that generates lots and lots and lots of money. Where,
I mean, what do you think
Shanahan could actually do this? There's enough general fund revenue, Damon, for any team to say, you know what? The going rate for a top defense coordinator is $5 million or $3 million. We're going to pay five.
Yeah.
It's $5 million. We're going to pay eight. We're going to pay 10. What difference does it make? It's funny money. It's not your money. It's like revenue created by this monster known as the NFL. So that's the one thing about the NFL, Damon, I'm a little surprised at, that to some degree, even though there's a lot of smart people involved, to some degree, it's groupthink. Everybody does kind of the same stuff, both on the field with the X's and O's and in the front office, and how teams interact within the framework of the rules. There's nobody that goes off rogue like that and says, you know what? We're going to pay we're going to double Spagnuolo's salary, and we're going to offer him our defensive coordinator's position. There's no team. Wouldn't that be interesting if there was like a George Steinbrenner of NFL who just said, I'm paying my coaching staff three times what everybody else is because I damn well feel like it, and because I think coaching means a lot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if nothing else, it would add interest.
With all due respect to Tony Vitello, I don't know how much a manager even does. With all respect to Steve Kerr, but for a handful of plays that you get to draw up out of timeouts, I don't know how much in-game coaching really affects an NBA season. You can obviously replace any NHL manager with a randomly selected fan, and it does not matter. Hockey managers are just the most replaceable group of coaches in the world, and that's not my opinion. That's what the NHL tells me every year. Football coaching matters more than any other sport times 10. So, yeah. Robert Saleh. So what do you think? Kyle Shanahan's pulling $15 million a year? 50, does he think Kyle's making $15 a year? I do. $15-$18, somewhere there.
I don't know. I'm not sure what he's pulling, but it's a sizable amount, and he's among the leaders.
Well, I can tell you,
if you wanted to pay somebody,
Indiana's paying Kurt Cignetti 11.2, so Kyle better be around 15.
Well, I don't know what he's making, but you know the rules as far as like you can't pluck somebody unless you're giving them a higher title. So you can't just be like, hey, Kansas City's coordinator, you're now our coordinator. But here's a lot more money. You have to give him like a different title. He's got to be
your associate assistant head coach of operations of game day procedures and protocols, the diplomat. You know, we'll make
something like that. But you have to then create that level. It has to be viewed as legitimate. I don't know.
Anyway, getting back to the whole
spend the money on the coaches.
But getting back to the Saleh and his departure and not wanting to lose a good coach, which he clearly is. You would have remaining Gus Bradley, good coach, and I think a big reason why Robert Saleh looks so good this year. But there's also a very good element to Kyle's reputation of being somebody who rehabs and rehabilitates images, coaches, quarterbacks, and reputations in this league. That is something that is very valuable to this franchise. Players and coaches both know, I can go there, work with Kyle for a little bit, and change the perception of who I am in this league. Shanahan's reputation as a man who rebuilds reputations is a great feature that this franchise has. So when it comes to picking the next coach, not that we're there yet. Again, I'm tired of worrying about next year in this year. But when it comes to picking the next coach, you know, you're going to swing and a miss and Nick Sorensen it every now and then. More often, I think Kyle's going to get it right. I think this team gets it right.
Gets what right? Coaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good – I mean, first of all, this last game was a tremendous – I mean, the 49ers are I saw the stat the other day. It jumped out at me. It was like the 49ers are pretty low on EPA per play on both offense and defense, and yet they're 5-2. You know,
there's an awful lot of numbers that point to the Niners should be 2-5, yet they're 5-2. There really are. I mean, there's the Niners' performance does not really match what they've done statistically in this year. That's it's hard to interpret. It's hard to interpret. That's why I really don't care about Pro Football Focus grades. I'm using my own two eyes here. It got better with Hennessy. Keep playing him. You know?
Well, it didn't, though. I mean, that's the thing. The numbers showed that when Brendel went out, they went from 7.2 a carry to 3.6 a carry. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I would like to see Hennessy as well. I agree with you. I think why? Because it's a young man's game. I'll go beyond that, Damon. I kind of think that you got to have some big people at the point of attack to compete with the other teams in football that have big people at the point of attack. Who do you want to beat? You want to beat Denver. They've got DJ Jones. You want to beat Philly. You know, they've got, you know, the gigantic Jalen Carter. You know, you want to beat Tampa. They've got Vita Vea. You can't have 285 Brendel, 33 years old, underpowered, getting tossed. At least this guy's 27, and instead of being 285, 295 pounds, he's 315 pounds. But the guy that I saw that was, you know, that they say is on the trade market is they say the Raiders are tired of Jackson Powers Johnson, and he's a 325, 330-pound center who, you know, slash guard, who if they really do want to move him, that's a guy that I think I would call on. At the deadline,
serious,
you know, at the deadline, problem. You don't have to.
He's got some serious concussion problems and apparently is no student of the game from what I have heard by. I'm guessing you could guess who my Raider insider might be, but yeah,
we'll see. I mean, there, you know, the Raiders have said goodbye to a lot of good players. There's a lot of talk that Tyree Wilson is, you know, their former top 10 draft choice out of Texas Tech. You know, that they may part ways with him. And guess where Chris Kocurek is from? He went to Texas Tech. So the idea that he would take on a Tyree Wilson at the trade deadline and try to, you know, get something out of Wilson where the Raiders have failed to, I could see something like that as well. So there's a lot of different kinds of trades out there.
Mark Davis would rather make a bad trade with another team than a good trade with the 49ers.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I don't think, you know, he would. I think he'll make a trade with the Niners. He's just not going to give you, like, their face of their franchise. I don't, you know, because the Niners and Raiders have made trades before. Right. But it's just that they don't want to give the idea that you're going to get Max Crosby. You know, I don't think that's.
Here's the thing. The Raiders should trade Max Crosby.
God, well, I don't know. I kind of disagree. I personally think that you have to have some marquee players to drive people unless you want your team to become just an out-of-town team.
No. You know? Larry, the
they're not going anywhere whether they have Max Crosby or not.
Exactly. Well, so here's the thing, though.
But you need
the
stars.
The Raiders owe it to themselves to really tear it all down. I mean, I was talking to Brick about this, and I'm saying it's time to fire Pete Carroll already. You know, seven weeks in to a rebuild, you need another rebuild. Pete Carroll was hired to instantly.
He was never going to be the long term guy.
No, well, that's the thing. So if he's not creating short term gains, and he has no future at all, you're better off saying goodbye to the wrong investment today than waiting tomorrow to say goodbye to that investment. Cutting ties on a bad investment the day you identify it as a bad investment is a better day to cut ties than tomorrow. And I know that that's an unfair, nasty thing to do to a football team and Pete, but really, if they let him go out this entire year and come back next year, you're just waiting to the end of next year to fire him. We are already waiting for the eventual termination of Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. They already need to do the full Antonio Pierce goodbye rebuild once again. Antonio Pierce was a better hire than Pete Carroll. In retrospect, we now know that. That's bad.
I thought Pete was going to turn
things around, at least make him competitive, if not a winner. They're lost.
You really thought Pete Carroll in his 70s was going to walk into the Raiders and the dysfunctional party that is that franchise with their inherited franchise son owner with Tom Brady looking to show what he knows with, you know, I mean, come on. I thought there was a 2% chance of Pete Carroll having success there this year. I did not fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
But
I will say this. They just need, every time you tear it down in the NFL, you to the studs, it takes time to build it up. So you know, the fact of the matter is, what is Kansas City's got the same head coach, the same offensive coordinator, the same defensive coordinator, the same special teams coordinator, the same quarterback. Okay, and you're in the division with them, and you think you're going to beat them by, you know, hiring some band-aid approach with some mediocre quarterback, some old has-been coach. I mean, it's like, come on. You're not building anything comparable. They've got this super sturdy base that never changes, so they can do advanced stuff that
not going to be any of those teams anytime soon. You have a better chance of outweighing their peaks than you do competing with them. Don't forget the Denver Broncos, by the way, is that other team that you're competing against that's arrows pointed in the right direction. The Raiders should admit who they are, where they are, and say, we are in a full 3-year-long rebuild. Every single one of our tickets is being purchased by an out-of-town fan anyway. There are no real Raider fans in the city of Las Vegas. Yeah, there's a few guys who come here and wear black shirts and show up, but they're dwarfed by the out-of-town crowd every single game. Every ticket sold. We're making money hand over fist. It's a tourist trap. You don't have to worry about serving a good meal at a tourist trap. People are going to come in, see it once, and probably never come back.
Yeah.
So, again.
They're the Raiders right now. They're so deep and mired with their problems.
Not admitting what their real problems are is always at the core of their center. Not going for that full rebuild is a part of their problem.
You know what's interesting? I just saw this to me is interesting. You know, as we get close to the trade deadline, there's the same old. Trey Hendrickson, are the Bengals going to trade Trey Hendrickson? But then this is a very volatile business, and teams do pivot. And sometimes, you know, guys that you would never think become available at the NFL trade deadline. I bring that up because I don't know if this is legit or not, but this would be very intriguing. According to 49er News 24/7, there's a real chance all-pro defensive tackle Quinnen Williams gets traded before the deadline per Connor Hughes. Now, I believe Connor Hughes is legit. The Jets are weighing being sellers and NFL teams are calling. Robert Saleh has a real relationship with this kid. If you watched Hard Knocks, I mean, this, they really, you know, hit it off.
How about this? He and Robert Saleh could not like each other. I wouldn't even care. I'll give you a second rounder for Quinnen Williams.
I mean, if Quinnen Williams is out there, I know the 49ers need edge and this and that. Find an edge on somebody's practice squad and trade your assets that you have to trade for Quinnen Williams, because he is the kind of monster up front that the Niners really want to have.
Well, Alfred Collins was drafted to be him.
Well, I don't know. Alfred Collins is more of a run stuffer.
Right.
But no, I hear you. I mean, this guy, I don't think that's fair, Damon. You know why? Because Alfred Collins is, you know, a second round pick, and this guy was the second pick or whatever, right. Third pick. This guy's a blue chipper. But yeah, I know what you're saying. They play basically. And your guy, CJ West, who was one of my favorites, he also was drafted. But you need more than just the four guys on your front four. You need 10 guys, and you need a few of them to be awesome. And this guy's awesome.
Well,
I do that.
If CJ West had done more early in his rookie season, we wouldn't even be talking about this being a trade that could be out there, because you would have said, well, we're all set at D tackle, so we don't need to do that.
But you're right. But I mean, that was probably a pretty tall ask to ask a fourth round defensive tackle. I mean, I'll just say this. Name me another day three defensive tackle that's taken over his team and coming in and just dominate. You know, it's hard to do. It's just hard.
You're the reason why.
I like CJ West a lot. And you know what? They do too. And he's going to be a really good player. And Collins is going to be a really good player. I'm just saying, like, the Niners' whole mindset, DNA, or whatever you want to say as a franchise, is to be dominant up front. And Quinnen Williams would be great.
There's no doubt about that. Week 8, Larry, it's, you know, our historical natural halfway point in an NFL season, week eight, who you are is we should be seeing who you really are as a football team about now. Yep. And I do think that this is a week where, you know, the cream really does start to separate the men from the boys and all that stuff. Chargers already whip the Vikings. Can I ask a question or two? Why isn't Sam Darnold still the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings? Why isn't Kirk Cousins still the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings? At what point does Kevin O'Connell get asked these questions because he gave away what looked like a Super Bowl window in the name of, let's see what J.J. McCarthy's got. And now they're on Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz doesn't have anything but aspirin to take this morning. He got hammered.
Yeah. Oh, Carson Wentz had a bad night for his career last night. Mm-hmm. Bad night.
If you thought this year might be his reclamation project, he gave it away with that sideline demeanor and all the pouting and the crying into the towel. Like, dude, that's, you cannot do that when you're the team starting quarterback. You cannot be the guy losing your cool on the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, it's a quarterback league, and you're right. I mean, they went for J.J. McCarthy, and I never really liked J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I at Michigan, I just never thought he was the guy.
Blake Corum was the reason why that team was good.
I mean, they had 13 NFL draft picks or whatever that year, 20 or something. It was like some ridiculous amount. They had a ton of talent. I mean, there's no question about it. But J.J. McCarthy, I mean, it's like anything else. It's like, why do you feel good about the 49ers if you're a Niner fan right now? I would say I feel really good about the 49ers because of a couple things. Their coaching staff and their quarterbacks. They have two quarterbacks that can process and throw with accuracy and run their offense and win with. So, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about this. This is why the Niners, and I don't know what Brock's decision-making in this is, but, you know, he's the one who's telling them, I feel good, I feel this, I feel that, or whatever. They decided not to put him on IR, okay? I don't know whose decision that was. But, you know, now I get the feeling that, you know, it's like, just ride with Jones until Purdy is really, really healthy. You know what I mean? I think since you are 5-2, and if you look at the stretch, they got a bunch of games with 2-5 football teams coming up on the horizon here. Every game can be tough in the NFL, but if you get this fat record, that affords you the luxury of giving Brock lots and lots of time. Damon, I kind of think that if the Niners show patience here, they could have Mac Jones build up a great record and a healthy Brock Purdy takes over in December, plays amazing football like we saw in training camp, and they win the Super Bowl at Levi's in a really tough, hard-fought playoff run and Super Bowl. Or I could see a scenario where Brock Purdy comes back next week and gets hurt again, and then Jones gets back out there, and then for whatever reason, he gets hurt again, and they finish with Adrian Martinez, and they don't make the playoffs. I mean, it's like, I think that level of the spectrum is still all there.
It is undefined.
How they handle this is going to chart their path. So I would do the smart thing. You have a great record and you have a quarterback winning games. Let Brock heal. Let's see how long you can surf the Mac Jones wave. Maybe you can surf it all the way into the shore, and maybe Mac Jones can win you Super Bowl 60. Who knows? But Brock Purdy with turf toe and unhealthy won't do it. So
what I do, I would rest him. And what I do know too, is that we have yet to even see the 49ers. We haven't even seen them yet.
We saw them last week, I thought, because they ran the ball.
That was definitely more reminiscent of a ground game that reminded us of how they want to play for sure. And there's an argument that without Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, you will not see the actual 49ers this year. And I hear you. I really do. That's how impactful they are. But have you been watching this league? This league is not decided. Not even close. Not even close. Giants and Eagles this week is kind of interesting because the Eagles are, you know, one of those teams you're competing with, and the Giants are the team that you're playing next week. So let's see how Jackson Dart does against Philadelphia. We'll see if Philadelphia doesn't beat up the New York Giants a little bit. Packers-Steelers, an interesting Sunday night game. Commanders and Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Kansas City feels like it's about to be 5-3 and right back in the mix. And a sneaky, really interesting game this week. Bills at Panthers. Again, another one of those looked like to be a pushover opponent. When the season schedule came out, this Panthers team is starting to get pointed in the right direction. If they beat the Buffalo Bills, well, I mean, you know, didn't exactly help the Atlanta Falcons coming into Levi's Stadium, but that would be something to note. So very interesting separation week here. The good teams are all out of excuses of, well, it's early in the year, we're getting our legs underneath us. No. You're starting to come into form now. Is Ricky Pearsall playing?
He's not playing. Done. Hey, we're Shit. Brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California, even though we're this far into it. But we left. I don't know why we didn't mention our sponsors off the start. But we're brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. Also, 49er football season is presented all season long by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chats, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper Picks. For daily fantasy, use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. So thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And we should also thank our good friends at Habas Law, because Habas Law is a major sponsor of the Krug Show.
Well, I tell you what, Larry, while you're looking to put that that frame up when we get to our supers, let me thank Ike of Ike Sandwiches, who's a huge supporter here over on Damon Bruce Plus. We thank the Dubliner and West Portal as always. And yeah, gotta love sleep. Yesterday's show was interesting, talking about, you know, NBA point shaving, and letting you know that this show is also brought to you by Sleeper. So a very, very, very interesting day for the sports gambling world yesterday, indeed. Thanks to our sponsors.
Yeah, that's, that whole story. We could do a whole conversation on that. Also, today's show is sponsored by Habas Law. Omar Habas and Tarek Habas, they're awesome. Official partners of the Giants, Earthquake, Sharks, San Jose State. If you're in need of someone in your corner, call the law firm. Insurance companies hope you never call, and that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit them on the web at habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com. Also 1-800-INJURED. Let's hit our supers because we got a bunch today. Let's hit them right here. Bill Kennedy says there will be a quarterback controversy Ram game week.
Only if there is one in Kyle's mind. I mean, we know that fans will fight about it, but if it's not happening in Kyle's mind, it's not really happening.
Well, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. It really, I think Brock wants to play, but Brock knows, you know, that he's not 100%. And so I think everybody's on the same page here, but it could get there's only one starter. Brock's going to want to come back. What if he doesn't play well? You know, there's a lot of factors here. We'll have to see how it all shakes out.
You can't be too hurt to play and embroiled in a quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, until Brock is healthy, we don't have to worry about that.
Humdinger. Chauncey Billups put $100 on the Niners making a trade for a defensive end. So there you go. You know what's going to happen. Justin says, watch some Jets all 22. And Will McDonald is awesome. He's got an array of pass rush moves, and he's under contract for two more seasons. I hope it's him. Yeah, exactly. No doubt. Justin, you and I think alike. That's exactly what I think as well. He does have an array of moves. He's a little undersized, but he's kind of like a Bryce Huff. I'd go get Will McDonald. And then if I could, I could get Quinnen Williams, I would move heaven and earth. I would give them a significant piece if I could get Quinnen Williams. I really would. Ernberg, who returns first, Brock or BA? Should shelve both of them. I'm going to say Brock comes back first, but then goes away again, and BA comes back in the meantime before Brock comes back a second time. That would be my call. G-Code says, game on the line. Who do you trust, Curry 3 or Eddie P field goal?
I love Eddie. Steph Curry. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You know, would you rather have a kicker who's on a little bit of a few week heater or the greatest shooter in the history of the sport? I'll take it. Look,
I'm recency bias. I'm going with Steph. Ask me Sunday. Did Jen, for anyone saying this is a quarterback controversy, if Purdy was 4-1 with Mac Jones numbers, people would be saying he was mid and being carried. Yeah, well, it's true. It's true.
I do know that, you know, it must be really nice for Joe Burrow to live in a world where Joe Flacco can come in, play well, and the entire fan base of the Cincinnati Bengals isn't saying like, well, why did we give Joe Burrow money? Anybody could come in here and be a good quarterback. Look at what Joe Flacco just did. We don't need Joe Burrow. We got Ja'Marr Chase. Why don't we? This is what other fan bases would sound like if they thought like 49ers fans.
Fuji, Simeon, Larry, you forgot to mention Mark Davis's great haircut. Come on, let's leave Mark alone. Carson says, do you think Derek Brown could go for a third? Also, don't you think if Mac doesn't play in the playoffs, he would quietly ask out next year? Yeah, I do. I do think he would quietly say, hey, get me somewhere else. But I mean, at this point, better be a good offer, because Mac Jones at $7 million with Brock Purdy as your starting quarterback having injury issues is probably more valuable than a second round pick,
right?
To be completely honest. And I don't know that he would fetch a first. So that's kind of a tough call.
Why are the Panthers trading Derek Brown?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the Panthers trading Derek Brown. Barry Ford says, bang, bang. Good morning, Larry. Great show, Damon.
Always a pleasure, Barry. Thank
you, Barry. Bill Kennedy, Niners should guarantee Saleh a head coaching position when Kyle leaves, kind of like Leno and Conan, LOL. Yeah, why not? I mean, I like that as well. Robert Saleh would be a great head coach.
By the way, Niners. That Leno-Conan transition is not remembered for being smooth.
Joseph Ernberg, more likely a bust, Ricky or Mikel?
Neither. How about that? Neither. I think both have shown they can play. If Ricky doesn't have a significant NFL career, it won't be because he couldn't. It will be because he couldn't stay healthy. There's a difference.
But that's part of it.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Can you be out here is a huge part of your career. But when healthy.
You're awesome. It's just you just can't stay healthy. I mean, it's like, what? No, I mean, I know what you're saying, though, but that right. is, I mean, that was the report. I mean, that's what I talked about on draft night. I mean, I literally did a report on draft night. I'm like, if this guy is super tough, he'll be great. And if he's not super tough, he's just going to be a guy, because you got to be tough to operate in the middle of the field. He's Julian Edelman. How many fucking people said he was Julian Edelman? It's like, have you ever met Julian Edelman, dude? Julian Edelman's super tough. Super. So,
real quick here, we got Sucka saying Jalen Hurd. Jalen Hurd had a preseason first down that people are still romantic about. Jalen Hurd had a preseason
game against the Cowboys,
against dudes who never going to play. So it does not matter. Ricky Pearsall is already 35 times the player Jalen Hurd is could ever be. Are you seriously?
Ernberg, more like, okay, we got that.
We just did that.
We got this one. Fuji, Terry and Billups and others need a good lawyer.
Maybe a Moskowitz. Very good lawyer. Here's the thing. Not only do they need a lawyer, they might need 24/7 around the clock security detail the rest of their lives. They're rolling on the mob, Larry. Have you seen the details of that? By the way,
I mean, you know, it's just the why anybody would try to make tens of thousands of dollars in the midst of a career that's worth millions and risk the career that's worth millions for tens of thousands of dollars. You're a damn fool and you deserve everything you get.
I think there's two things in play. Number one, we don't know the details of how deep either Rozier or Billups is to the mob. So this isn't like I'm trying to have a $10,000 three-team parlay hit. This is the mob threatened my life, and I need to do this because I owe them $5 million of gambling debt.
Yeah, you know what? You created that whole situation.
Hold on. But the other thing that's happening,
we're at the end of the show,
is that Billups is in on this. He was in on the card game, the rigged card game, according to
I don't know why you sound shocked. Like that's like you had preconceived notions or belief that Chauncey Billups was pure. I don't have those beliefs, so this is not shocking to me. Fuji says, hate to bring it up, but will more people get caught in the NBA mafia poker gambling scandal FBI sting? Safe to say Billups is not coaching again. Oh, coaching again?
Yeah.
He's not doing anything associated with he's not at an NBA freaking card show.
No, he's gone.
And Stefan says, Ayuk and a third for Garrett Wilson. I absolutely would do that. The Jets and maybe have him throw in, you know,
Jermaine Johnson,
throw in Sauce Gardner. Damon, that's a good one for us. That's a wrap. I should say I'm off to KMBR. I'm filling in for Papa in 3 minutes with the great, Derek Papa, but Greg Silver. So Greg Silver and I will be doing from 10 to 1 on The Sports Leader. So join me over there. Damon, great to see you. Have a great weekend, man. You got any big plans?
Thank you. We got Halloween coming. So this is like the calm before the storm here in the Bruce household.
Do you know what you're going to be?
Yeah, I have a chicken outfit that I just put on every year. I dress up as a chicken. My kids love it when I put that chicken outfit on. And so that's what I'm going to be.
I saw the nice video of you guys singing happy birthday to your mother, maybe your wife's mother. I don't know.
That was yes. My mother-in-law, Liz. It was her birthday. She was just over here for her birthday. And
cute scene, dude. Very cute with the guys, kids blowing out the candles and licking the bottom of the candles and good the whole
times.
Deal. And
good yeah, times. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, time. Man, have a good show. Today would have been my 20-year on-air anniversary.
Hey, you're radio. One of the great radio performers of all time, and you will have your day in the sun once again, my friend. I know that.
Oh, I'm in sure. The sun with you here, right here. The wake up is all the sunshine I need, brother. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Larry. Great joining you again. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit like and subscribe. We'll be back on Monday morning right here on Wake Up talking about whatever happened in Houston. Here's my only request. I don't care if you win the game or not. It'd be better if you did. Nobody else get hurt. Can we get through one football game without the Tuesday afterwards finding out that somebody's going to be gone for 3 weeks with a spinal contusion that you didn't even see happen in the fucking game? Can we do 1 week of that? 1 week, nobody gets hurt. I don't even care if you win or lose. Get Jeez. To the Giants game healthy.
Good luck to the Northgate JVs against College Park. Kick-ass boys. I'll be there.